This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
We've reached one of the top forestry scientists in Indonesia. Dr. Daniel Murdiarso is senior scientist at the Center for Forestry Research, or CFOR. He's led Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports. He has served as Deputy Minister of the Environment for the Government of Indonesia. Dr. Murdiarso, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, and I'm pleased to talk with you. Could you start by just describing the fire and smoke situation in Indonesia this year? Sort of how many fires are there or hotspots, and where are they located?
Well, this year fire is quite extensive. It spread over the island of Sumatra. There are three big provinces like Riau, Jambi, and South Sumatra. They are all blanketed by smoke these days. The hotspots ranging between 200 to 400 points in the past 3 months or so, and fire still raging as we speak. And in Kalimantan, part of the Borneo island, the number of hotspots is more or less the same, but picking up the highest about 2 weeks ago, about 400 hotspots in west and central Kalimantan.
Is the driving force behind the fires agricultural clearing, forestry operations, or clearing for palm oil plantations?
Well, it's a mix of everything, small and large. But we hardly seen any evidence of logging these days. So it's unlike the 1997 fire was following the logging operation. But these days, it's mainly bush and secondary vegetation clear up for agriculture or plantations. Yeah, the same thing happened in both Sumatra and Kalimantan.
Indonesia is the world's largest exporter of palm oil, I understand. So who is buying it and what are they using it for?
Well, the most importer of CPO, the crude palm oil, these days is China and India and also Europe and the U.S. Depending on these countries, the way palm oil is used is ranging from cosmetic kind of stuff is household use and cooking oil, edible oil, but also for biofuel. So these countries use the oil palm, which is very productive in terms of yield in per unit area compared with other vegetative or biofuel produced in Europe or in the U.S.
Yes, I think even the Dutch were burning palm oil in power plants as a green fuel in the sense that it can be replanted and regrown. I want to ask you about climate change now. Forest fires and peat fires have been an annual occurrence for Indonesia, at least since the previous great El Nino year of 1997-98. How does this outbreak compare to recent years and to that 97-98 fire season?
Well, yes, as I said, the 1997 fire, it was also El Nino year, very strong one, prolonged. And at the same time, the conversion of tropical forests was taking place. So following the logging fire happened and then the extension of agricultural land. But this year, in the past few years, it's mainly bush and secondary forest kind of fire. It's hard to see any logging operation at the moment.
The Western press is reporting that with these fires, greenhouse emissions from Indonesia this year have now surpassed those of the entire U.S. economy. Do you find that credible, and what calculations of emissions do you have?
Well, we have not finished our estimate yet because it's hard to see the precise area burn, as the smoke is still blanketing the area, you cannot see it with Landsat kind of product. You can guess with MODIS or even lower resolution, but it's quite crude. So the most important component to estimate emission is really the emission factor of this material burn, and then the area. And if it's involved, and it is the case involving peatland, then you need to know the depth of peat burn. So that's a very crucial number to get a better estimate of emission.
I think this peat fire angle is very important. I'm wondering if you could explain the mechanism of how and why peat is burning and maybe give us an idea of the volume of peat that could eventually burn in Indonesia.
Right. Well, once it is exposed, when the peat swarm forest is cut down, and then people start to drain it for agricultural activities, then the peat are exposed and oxidized and dried out, and is prone to fire. So even without fire, draining peatland is also emitting greenhouse gases. But if it is extensive, then it is very sensitive to fire. The first 30 centimeters kind of layer is very sensitive to it, but it does not mean that you can only burn the first few centimeter surface, but it can go deep down in the peat if it is dry enough. That's why we have smoldering instead of raging fire. It's very lack of oxygen, so you have a lot of smoke in the peat fires.
And I've seen that they can go on for years and they're very difficult to put out. I'm wondering, in your opinion, are the Indonesian peat fires perhaps a preview of what could happen in the Arctic as it warms and peat thaws there in the far north?
Well, the process is a bit different because in releasing greenhouse gases in peatland, you need to dry it out and burn. But in the Arctic permafrost, you only need to warm it up. Yes, if the emission of greenhouse gases elsewhere warm the atmosphere up, then the permafrost will be thawed. And that's the time when you release methane, which is more disastrous than CO2. It's got 25 times global warming potential than carbon dioxide.
Let's talk about public health. What are the smoke conditions in Indonesia now? You were just in Jakarta. Is it smoky there?
Well, we are in Bogor, even better here, but I was in the spot 2 weeks ago. This is very, very detrimental. You can see a lot of kids playing around with no awareness about the danger of this haze and smoke, a toxic one. Although they are out of school, but still people are roaming around the city. And I think the worst impact of haze and smoke these days is the health instead of, well, of course, greenhouse gas emission, but the impact to human health is appalling. It's about 43 million people exposed to haze these days, and half a million are affected with these respiratory problems. So I think if you turn that numbers into monetary term, the economic loss is substantial.
Can we expect excess deaths could result from the smoke this year?
Well, there are casualties, cases in Riau province, in South Sumatra. I think the death toll is 10 at the moment. And young baby and elderly people, these are very vulnerable to diseases driven by smoke.
How far has the smoke spread in Southeast Asia? What's happening in Malaysia and Singapore?
Well, it's not much reported. I think they are affected these days, but not like 1997. It was started in July, and the easterly wind affects Singapore very badly. Now it's happening a bit later, so the wind direction is different with 1997-98 fires. I think the disruption of flights and everything is less than the 1997 fires.
This is Radio EcoShock from Bogor, Indonesia. Our guest is forest expert Daniel Murdiarso. What is the Indonesian president, known as Jokowi, saying about this, and what government solutions are being offered, Daniel?
Well, as far as we hear now, the permits to open up the peatland is being reviewed. I think the government will have a very tough measure in terms of issuing new permits in developing peatland especially. They are aware that this is a big mistake to give permits to manage peatland, which is quite sensitive to drought and fire.
What are the challenges at the local level to reducing or ending these annual fires?
I think the hard part of it, if the central government has this kind of policy, then it is not followed by the local government. That's very hard to have this realized. The way I see it, what's happened in the region, it seems that there is no significant move from the local government whatsoever compared with what the central government is trying to help out. But it is really very much depend on how the local government reacted and responds to this call.
Daniel, do you think this problem is manageable, or will Indonesia continue to be one of the world's top emitters of greenhouse gases?
It's a hard question. it's happening year after year, or even in less strong El Nino years, it's also happened. I think this decentralized governance issue is very crucial here to try to help out how this issue is going to be solved in the future. Strong government in the central is not enough if there is no response from the local government, business people who deals with the local government, etc. So it's very complicated processes with regard to economic, the political economy, even local political economy.
Do you think this year's burst of greenhouse gas emissions from Indonesia will be raised at the Paris climate talks in December? And if so, is there a role for the international community?
Well, this year, countries, most countries are submitting their what is called INDC. This is the intended national determined contribution in terms of mitigating climate change, including reducing emission. And I'm a bit disappointed that the issue of haze and fire is not mentioned in the Indonesian INDC. So, yeah, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in the next round of negotiation, because one single fire like this is really off scale all the prediction about emission reduction and outnumbered all those emission estimates from every sectors.
You know, I'm thinking about Paris, and I'm wondering if there was some sort of international funding mechanism to reduce carbon, however that might work, perhaps that would help local governments make better decisions, because there would actually be a bit of money for not clearing out the peat.
Yeah, well, the Green Climate Fund is been discussed and pledged, but it's only a promise. Countries longing to see this to be realized in Paris with a new agreement for towards 2020 and beyond. So I think, as I mentioned earlier, the realization is very much at the central government level. And I think it's timely to propagate this message about the potential of local government to get involved in this process.
Please tell us about the Center for International Forestry Research, where you are, what it does, and the resources that it offers.
Okay, well, C4 is one of the 15 CGIAR centers, the Consultative Group of International Agricultural Research, and we are specializing on forestry, landscape, and people depending on forests and across the tropics. We work in three different kind of portfolio dealing with governance of forests, livelihood and forests, and forests and environment. So we basically work mainly on the policy issues and to some extent also on the biophysical aspect of it. We've been supported by a number of countries with an annual budget of about $50 million a year. And what we do is really provide incredible information about those issues related to forests and forest people. And hopefully this will be useful for government and community at large to make their decision, planning, etc.
Is there anything I've missed that you would like to tell our listeners?
Yes, I think this time around with regard to fire is very much a kind of waking up bell to deal with forest and land fire in different way, because usually people are talking about firefighting when it happens. but maybe it's very strategic now to think about fire prevention. So this should be a long-run kind of plan so that we are not surprised if things happen like this every time.
You know, it might interest you to know that we had massive fires in Western North America, and in the village where I live, we had to take in 250 fire refugees, some of whom lost their homes. It was smoky for several weeks. We couldn't really go outside. So I have a fair feeling for what's happening in Indonesia as well.
Yeah, well, it's terrible. I was there 2 weeks ago in Palangkaraya, the capital of Central Kalimantan. It's so bad. And I was only 5 days there. They've been exposed to a situation like this for more than 100 days. So government are trying to rescue them out. But again, the area which is safe is not ready, and it's a lot of problem too. So it's difficult to cope with this difficult situation in a relatively short period. So as I said, prevention is very crucial.
We've been speaking with Dr. Daniel Murdiarso, the internationally known Indonesian forest expert. He's currently the senior scientist at the Center for Forestry Research, located in Bogor, Indonesia. Dr. Murdiarso, thank you so much for sharing your valuable time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All the best.
I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.